Welcome to the final installment of Practical Azure. I'm Jim O'Neill, a technology evangelist in the Boston area, and have been your host for the past several months and 24 episodes. We're going to finish things off today by talking a bit about the client layer. The client layer isn't really a part of the cloud at all. It's a generic term for the consumers of all the services we've talked about over the past episodes. It's the corporate databases that sync data to the cloud for reach and replication. It's the on-premises enterprise services that join into virtual networks to CloudBurst and take advantage of additional processing capabilities and bandwidth for short or even longer-term needs. It's the applications you're writing for mobile services, Windows 8 and Windows Phone, and yes, even Android and iOS that leverage the back-end as a service capabilities of Windows Azure Mobile Services. It's the finished software as a service applications that make use of media services and those that are listed on the marketplace. And it's the promise of up-and-coming devices like Xbox One that will allow game developers to leverage Windows Azure for processing and storage. The core enabler for this breadth of client devices and platforms is the focus of Windows Azure on open standards and protocols, HTTP, REST, OData, JSON, to drive the vast majority of the interaction. Being able to host your application on either Windows or Linux boxes, write applications with SDKs in a host of languages, C#, Visual Basic, Node.js, Ruby, Python, PHP, Java, and then host them at data centers around the world makes Windows Azure arguably the most open and ubiquitous public cloud provider. But the train hasn't stopped. Since I started this series, several of the features we've discussed moved from the preview stage to release, like virtual machines. Pricing has changed, with storage and compute becoming even notably less expensive. And we've seen a number of new features be announced, like dev and test options in the cloud, Windows Azure Backup, and Recovery Manager for Hyper-V. And lest I forget, Microsoft recently announced new data centers in China, Japan, and Australia. And in just a few weeks from the time I'm recording this, Build 2013 will be held, undoubtedly bringing with it a hint of more things to come as the Windows Azure cloud evolves. Of course, you can continue to stay up to date and keep your skills sharp by leveraging the trial offer and the continually refreshing training kit that now contains over 75 presentations, hands-on labs, and demos. Azure.com will always be your entry point to everything related to the Windows Azure ecosystem, but consider keeping tabs on the Azure team blog to stay informed of what's coming next and get a little bit deeper view of the platform. I've had a great time pulling this series together. It's given me the opportunity to dive into some of the features that I typically don't visit during my day-to-day evangelism duties, and I hope it's provided value for you in helping sort out the myriad features and capabilities that are part of the overall platform. Thanks for tuning in, and best wishes on your continuing journey to and through the cloud.